something that changed my life. I was sitting in my car waiting for my girlfriend to get off her job so that I could surprise her and drive her to where she lived with her family in the uptown neighborhood of Chicago. What happened to me there changed my life. It was an epiphany. And I'll get to that part in about 10 minutes. First, we'll start with something from last week. So you know we're doing a series on Romans. We did chapter 5 last week, and I'm just going to do a few verses here. Is my clicker up there? I thought I took it.
No, it's not up here.
All right, thanks. Oh. Okay, first verse, Romans 5, 18 to 21. First two verses. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so an act of righteousness leads to set justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Adam disobeyed God in the rebellion against God in the Garden of Eden. You know the story of his breaking the one rule that God gave him. Because of that sin, his spiritual DNA was corrupted for his descendants, and we all inherit a sinful nature. And because of that sinful nature, we all sin. And we are guilty before God. The wages of sin is death. God sent the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord, to completely obey him on earth. By his obedience, many will be made righteous. How? By the grace he offers to us as a gift. This grace justifies us before God, wiping away our sins and causing us to be righteous in his sight. Grace is a lot more powerful in its effect than sin. If one sin produced death, then how much more powerful is grace that wipes out many sins? If one sin makes death king over us, think what a life-transforming effect grace has, causing us to reign in life. Grace covers all our sins. There isn't any number of sins that's too much for grace to overcome. The more sins there are, the more grace there is to cover them. Anybody who feels that they've done something too bad or too many bad things for God to forgive them are totally wrong. Grace has the power to cover it all. There's more sins, there's more grace. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. I have a question for you. If we want grace to abound in our lives, shouldn't we sin to make that happen? That brings us to today's chapter, Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? That's the question I just asked you. Verse 2, the answer. By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? The answer is an emphatic no. That's not the way to do it. Grace is not an excuse for sin. The scripture asks us this question. Can we who died to sin still live in it? We died to sin? What? How did that happen? Next verse. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were baptized into his death. What does that mean? Verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. This is one of the great values of getting baptized, something all disciples of Jesus are supposed to do. By baptism, we share in Christ's death. This is a promise. Because we are united with him in baptism to die as he did, we will also be raised by God to live as he did in newness of life. This is also a promise. Verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. This has profound implications. Next verse. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. The sinful nature that we inherited from Adam, here referred to as our old self, died with Christ on the cross. Let that sink in. The sinful nature, our old self, our sinful nature died with Christ on the cross. Your old sinful nature was crucified with Christ. Sin's rule over you is broken so that you would no longer be enslaved to sin. Next verse. For one who has died has been set free from sin. And that's what's happened to us. You have been set free to real freedom. That's why you can walk in newness of life. Jesus commented in the Gospel of John, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Next verse in Romans. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. His life gives us life, eternal life with him. Next slide. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Now listen to the application of all this to our lives. In verse 11. This is the big verse for me that day long ago. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is so important. Think of yourself as dead to sin. Why? Because our old self, the sinful nature from Adam, was crucified with Christ. This sets us free from the rule of sin. It's no longer our slave master. We are no longer slaves to sin. So we can consider ourselves alive to God in Christ Jesus. How you think about yourself is very important. This understanding is what I talked about in the introduction today. I was reading a book in the car waiting. And it were comments on this, on that verse, on Romans 6:11, this one right here. And I thought, that's it. That's it. This isn't a matter of me following some program to try to live a better Christian life. It's not necessarily joining an accountability group, which typically are just sin management groups. It's not a matter of gritting my teeth and trying harder. It's a matter of considering myself dead to sin. How can I do that? Because it's a fact. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. I felt like running down the street shouting, "Eureka, I found it!" Of course, I wouldn't do it naked like Archimedes, but it felt like I had just discovered something very important, which I had. This opened up a whole new world for me in actually living out the Christian life. So this is how we ought to think. Well, previous verse, sorry. You're too good up there. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive in Christ Jesus. Now the next verse. This is what we should do. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Rather than yield to temptation, we should yield to God. Rather than presenting your body as an instrument for unrighteousness, present it to God as an instrument for righteousness. How can we do this when temptations to sin can seem so powerful? Next verse, please. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. We cannot be satisfied with anything less than victory over sin, because we have God's promise of overcoming. He accomplished it for us. Next verse. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, from Colossians. Since we are now dead to sin, its dominion over us has been broken. It's like the Revolutionary War, which resulted in freedom from King George here in what would become the United States. Our predecessors fought and won that war, resulting in our physical freedom. In the spiritual realm, Jesus Christ fought and won the spiritual revolutionary war, resulting in our spiritual freedom. Now, we recognize George Washington as the father of the country because he led the army, he did all kinds, he was the first president, got things going well. And we give him a lot of credit, but he had a lot of help in doing all that. He had an army. When Jesus Christ came, he did it by himself. The people who he did it for were all enemies of his at the time. We were all sinners at the time that Christ came and died for us. That's how God demonstrated his love, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he's kind of like George Washington, but no army and just surrounded by enemies. And he went and he got it done, lived a perfect life, and then died on the cross. The only person who didn't deserve to die because of sin, remember the wages of sin is death, he died and imputed his righteous life to us. So it was kind of like the Revolutionary War, but really a lot different. Thinking of ourselves in this way, as dead to sin and alive to God, is not the power of positive thinking. No. And it's not like the little engine that could. Did you ever hear read that as a kid? This isn't, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And it's not like Dorothy clicking her heels together and saying there's no place like home. And it's not trying extra hard. To will not to sin is a trap unless you have counted yourself dead to sin and alive to God. You're just going to fail. It is not the resolution, but the faith to consider yourself accurately that is essential to victory. I've been going to the Geneva Park District Health Club for years now. And after the first of the year, a lot of people are working out, and I know why. New Year's resolutions. But long about now, crowds are tapering down, and they'll soon be at normal levels again. Why? Because they fail. What I'm talking about here is not another resolution. It's just considering yourself accurately. Considering yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Because that's a fact. That's reality. But we need to recognize that reality to really make it effective in our life. Okay, show Romans 6:14 again. Thank you. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Therefore, we are not under law, but under grace. Verse 15. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. In other words, forget about it. All right, next verses. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? Grace frees us, not from obedience, but from our powerlessness under the law. The power of grace. We are now able to behave as slaves of righteousness rather than slaves of sin because of grace. You say you don't want to be a slave at all? Not a slave to sin and not a slave to righteousness? Sorry. No middle ground. Take your choice. You have a real choice, but choose wisely. And thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. You know, some people who like to sin as much as they want think that they are really free, free from constraints, free to do whatever they want. What they don't realize is that they are really a slave to sin, not really free at all. The fruit of that is death. But if you have been set free from sin, then you have become a slave of God. The fruit of that leads to sanctification, which ends in eternal life. Sanctification is the process of being made holy by God. Being set free from sin is an event. Being made holy is a process. The event is what begins the process. God isn't finished with us yet. He loves us just as we are. But He loves us so much that He doesn't leave us as we are. He sanctifies us. All right, next verse. This is actually what I just was talking about. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free with regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Okay, finally we get to the last verse in the chapter. You've probably heard this one before. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death here is both physical and spiritual. Adam died spiritually the day he sinned. He died physically years later. Death is the wages of sin. That is, death is what you have earned and deserved if you choose the path of sinning. On the other hand, the free gift is not what you earn or deserve. It is eternal life in Jesus, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is better than anything you can imagine. All right, the sermon title today is How to Live a Good Life. Here's how. Three things. Number one, accept the free gift. You do that by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's no other way for you to respond to God's wonderful offer. It's like getting an invitation in the mail or online, however you get it. It's like getting an invitation, RSVP required. The way you RSVP positively is you put your faith and trust in Jesus. That's how you respond. On the other hand, if you just ignore it, that's your response. And guess what? It's not going to go well. No response is a negative response. I see that more and more in practice today. It used to be you invite people to something and they say yes or no. But now, more and more, it's they'll say yes and do nothing instead of saying no. And that means no. I didn't respond. That means no. But that's how it is here. You respond yes by putting faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people who are responding no by just ignoring the whole thing. No response. So number one, accept the free gift. It's the best gift you would have ever received or ever could receive. Number two, consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. The working out of that is of such value in not letting temptation get a hold of you. I'm dead to that. I'm dead to sin, but alive to God. This also requires faith. It requires faith to accept the gift of grace. It requires faith to consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Because we live in the present evil age, temptations to sin are sure to come. But because the age to come, the kingdom of God, has broken through here by Jesus Christ, we can consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. This is not New Age thinking. It is age to come thinking, kingdom of God thinking. All right, number three, last thing. Offer yourselves to righteousness. This is not another resolution. This is not trying harder. It is the implementation of considering yourself dead to sin and alive to God, all done in faith. The foundation of it all. Please rise. Oh, Lord, we are so thankful for the gift that you give to us, grace, leading to sanctification that ends in eternal life. And we look forward to that day. And that day is coming when we'll be done here. But Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us for the road ahead. That you'd help us all really to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. That we might walk in a manner worthy of you, fully pleasing to you. bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So Holy Spirit, come now upon us. And empower us to live well before you and before the world by considering ourselves dead to sin, but alive to you. Come now, Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My epiphany.